Welcome once again to the Lucky Bucker Studio Rumor Tower, brought to you by the Lucky Bucker Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckybucker.com. I'm your announcer, Papa Duda, PapaDuda.com in Columbus, Nebraska. In just a moment, we'll be joined by our co-host, Congressman Ali, CongressmanAli.com in San Diego, California, and Madam Nadia, MadamNadia.com in Chicago, Illinois. This week, we'll be joined by a special guest from the Association of Empire Readers and Rumorers, Professor Ames of Smallbone Emporium.com in Fort Collins, Colorado, bringing us today's topic on astrology for work and career. Afterwards, they will take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African-American romantic practices of voodoo, conjure, and rumor, as defined and described by the greatest spiritual teachers of our time. You can learn a lot just by looking, but if you're selected from among those who signed up in the Lucky Mojo form at form.luckymojo.com and called into the show, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phone in just a moment, but first, let's catch up with our co-hosts, Congressman Ali and Madam Nadia. Congressman Ali.
Thanks, Papa Newt, for that lovely introduction. As you can tell from my voice, I am not Kat. Miss Kat is away and traveling and having some fun with trains, if I'm not mistaken. So I hope she's having a lovely weekend, and she'll be back next week. Until then, we are joined by the wonderful, the amazing, the fantastic Madam Nadia, who is one of my favorite substitute co-hosts, and you know that it's going to be an interesting show when she's on. Just some brief updates on my end before we check in with Madam Nadia and then our lovely guest. It's been quite a busy weekend. Memorial Day and three-day weekends tend to draw out a lot of clients who find that they have free time and are looking to get readings about family matters, about ancestor work, about people that they may have that are enlisted. So it has been quite a busy week on my end, finishing up May quite strong and dealing with a lot of court cases. They've kind of come out of the woodwork. And I enjoy working on court cases, and they're probably some of my I consider them the most interesting type of cases to work on, because unlike other cases, they're not something that you can, you know, light a candle for and then just kind of walk away. They involve a lot of kind of dynamic work. You have to be able to adjust at the last minute because something happened in the court. You have to work actively in partnership, really, with your client. I also find that I tend to take on court cases that go on for a while. There's not, you know, they go to court and then it's all said and done. No, but it's usually a couple months. And my rate of success has been quite good with court cases. So I am enjoying doing that type of work. So that's really all I've been up to, keeping busy, having lots of readings, seeing an influx of kind of clients over the weekend, and lots of court case work. That is the life of a busy congressman, Ali, during a four-day weekend. Let's check in with Madam Nadia and see what she's been up to. Madam Nadia, welcome. So glad to have you.
Thank you. So good to be back on the show. I've been.
Well, we're glad to have you.
Thank you. I've been busy, and it's really funny because as I was listening to you, I thought to myself, what was going on with me is court cases. Like that, it just is coming up, and then you mentioned it, so I guess it's the court case season. Been getting a lot of court cases and a lot of I don't know if political is the right definition of that, but definitely some interesting cases where you have to ask yourself, where do I stand? What are my morals? What are my ethics? It's very challenging, but it's also, I find it very very powerful. I think we grow from situations like that when we have to sit and reevaluate our work. So that's been going on with me. I'm busy with my clients, doing all kinds of additional things and enjoying the weather. Finally, there is summer in the Midwest. We had winter up until last week, I think. So it's sunny and nice.
Yeah, the weather's been somewhat bizarre. But you're absolutely right. Court cases are taking an turn into a weird gray area, and it requires, really assessing what you are looking to get out of the situation or help the client with, as Professor Porterfield recently released a book dealing with kind of individuals that are outside the law. And that's some of the clients that you end up with, right? It's not just court case because, I'm trying to get child support. But court cases sometimes to deal with how to circumvent the law, how to go around the law, and how to keep the law away, because your activities may not be on the so-called right side of the law. And so there are quite a bit of clients that come in from that. And so there is a question of ethics and morals, and certainly a question of, where do you stand? And interestingly, the root worker has always kind of been in this kind of gray area. Well, while root workers are spiritual in nature themselves, there's a bit of a gray area there. Right? Root workers themselves work somewhat outside of the law. And so we often work with clients who need help because they're in these desperate straits and the law is somewhat unfair to them. So it's definitely interesting work. And I have no doubt that you probably draw quite a bit of clients of that type as well, having such a strong reputation for beauty work and attraction work and success work and glamour. So I'm sure you definitely draw those type of clients. And reading by Wen mentioned The Sporting Life. Yes, that's the name of the book, Professor Porterfield. And speaking people who, kind of careers and whatnot, Professor Ames has introduced a very cool topic for us today. But before we get to that, let's have Professor Ames come on, tell us a little bit about how he's doing. It's been a while since we've had you on, Professor Ames. So welcome. So
it
glad
has
to have
been
you.
A while. Thank you.
Hello.
It's so fantastic to hear Madam Nadia. It's been a while since we've spoken. As you're talking about court cases, and I was there when Professor Porterfield introduced and spoke about his new book, The Sporting Life. I highly recommend it. Even if, you're not working outside the law, it's got great stuff for gambling and playing the numbers and things that people like to do for entertainment, as well as, a little shadier stuff perhaps. But, I was just working on a case with a woman. Her son has had several little run-ins with the law, and I used some launching ideas from there basically to make him invisible to the law, right? So he's not in court now, but they tend to harass him. They tend to he's on parole, so we want to keep him as low as possible, make him visible to the law, and made him a nice little mojo for that. So, it's the season for lots of work about court and law, and Professor Porterfield was very timely with his book.
Yeah, absolutely. You also are introducing, let's talk a little bit about our topic today. You have presented an interesting topic. We've talked about astrology quite a bit on the show, I think, but we've never quite talked about astrology with the purpose, so to speak. Right? So we've talked about what is astrology, we've talked about how to incorporate astrology with root work, but we've never talked about, for example, love astrology or career and success astrology, and you proposed career to talk a little bit about how to work with astrology in root work or understand astrology in regards to your career or your success. So why don't we introduce the topic a little bit to it? Tell us what it is that you want to discuss.
Absolutely. So, I'm a traditionalist, and I do have a couple of old astrology books. One I like, and was one of my very first, is the A to Z Horoscope Maker and Delineator by George Llewellyn. What I find fascinating about that, and a lot of the old ones talk about, they're very prescriptive, right? So Capricorn, you know, rules this, and this, and the colors and locations and all kinds of things that in modern astrology books we tend to have dropped. So a lot of our ancestors here in working hoodoo, our forefathers and mothers, probably referred to these books. And they would be able to look up. If they knew someone's sun sign, they could say, oh, well, you are a Virgo. You would be excellent at research. You have a sharp mind, research, teaching, bookkeeping, things that require detail, right? And it's really fascinating to go through and see some of those because there are sometimes there are jobs that no longer exist, right? So a hawker and a milk delivery man were some of the recommendations, which would be very rare to find nowadays. So I do a lot of counseling when people come to me. They're interested in life change, and usually that involves some sort of career change. And I put them usually in two categories. I have people who are early in their career. They've not decided what they want to do yet. And then people who are later in their life, and they want to change careers. So with someone early in their career, I will look at their chart. And I look in particular the first house, the sixth house, and the tenth house. For those not completely familiar with astrology, if you think of the circle in your zodiac, your natal chart, divided into little pie shapes, the first house is really about, it's the first little pie shape on the left, it's about your personality. So I look there, so what's your temperament? What drives them? What interests them? And you can see all kinds of things. Their rising sign, based on the time when they were born, is important. Where their sun is, which we usually think of as astrology, right? The sun sign. Where their moon is, what their emotional makeup is and their temperament there. And then I look for any planets in the first house to kind of tell me who this person is, what drives them. I had a client recently, a young man, 25, and so I was looking at his chart, and it was very funny because I was it's a Cancer, right? So very loving, caring, nurturing person. Rising sign, the ascendant was Leo, so a fiery, big personality, likes to be in public, and then moon in Virgo, which is very caretaking and precise and technical. So what would this person do for a career? First job was as an EMT, right? So taking care of people, it's in a high stress, very public sort of thing, precision, was a perfect fit. Now that he's getting older, we have to look at how does that change? How do you move into another type of career? So I use this as the basis for you know, what's someone's personality, what things are they good in the work environment, and that's the sixth house, right? And then the tenth house, or the midheaven, what they would like to do as a career, you know. So sometimes what we do for a job, sixth house, might be very different than what we want to do as a career. So I look at both of those. Now, we do have an advantage that our predecessors did not have, which is computers, right? So we can easily put in someone's information online, on a computer, and quickly pull up a chart and be able to look at these things and within a few minutes be able to assess, here are some areas that might be very good for you. If someone is a Pisces, they may tend toward very spiritual work, right? If you are a Libra or a Taurus, you know, they love beautiful things. They're ruled by Venus. Madam Nadia, I know, has a lot of Gemini. Aren't you like a triple Gemini or something crazy? So, you know, you look at, sometimes it's not exactly what the job is, but how they do it. So Madam Nadia, as we all know, very known for reading, cartomancy, you know, language, communication, all that exists within that very strong Gemini, Mercury, kind of mindset. So sometimes it's not always the job type, but it's how somebody performs the job. So have you all used much astrology in your career assessments for people?
I think that's fantastic. Thank you for that introduction. Those are some great points. It's also interesting how we work a little bit differently. And what you, for example, I hadn't considered the sixth house in that way. Because in kind of the medieval astrological model that I work with, the Arabic model, the sixth house is for workers, so people that work for you, or someone you're looking to hire, right? So it's interesting that you differentiate between job and career. I think that could be very useful because there are differences, right? See, you can have a job, but that might not be what your career is. For me, in particular, when I do this type of work, I do look at the ascendant, the first house. Midheaven is the huge one. So 10th is career and success, and midheaven. Looking at the midheaven tells me quite often what career a person goes. It's like we mentioned, and Gemini, you know, if you see Gemini in the midheaven, I often see that this is going to be a work in communication. It also may indicate that the person has more than one job. They may have two jobs.
And
that's quite typical of Geminis. And they may end up being a speech writer or working in public relations or communications. The other thing I look at, and again, this comes from kind of the tradition that I'm involved in, and it's not necessarily a part of the type of astrology that hoodoo may work with, because this is a little bit different model. It comes from really kind of an Arabic approach to it. Is the part of fortune, right? The lots, or the Arabic lots, are not really that used today, but they're a big part of kind of predictive astrology and prescriptive astrology as well, in that, you know, everything, there's sensitive parts on the chart that are calculated, and then, you know, people can make predictions off of it. So, like, there's a part of divorce. You could tell you what you're going to get a divorce, and if so, when. But the part of fortune is really great. You know, it's ascendant plus moon minus the sign. And what it does is it fantastically tells you where your money is going to come from, where you can find a source of income. So, for example, if you find the law of fortune in a certain place in the chart, you go, okay, this is where you should go to seek out money. And this is how you can do it. So for me, those are the kind of what I look at in regards to determining someone's career. To do with it afterwards is kind of a secondary question, right? That's the root work aspect of what do you do with the information from the chart? So Madam Navia, you do a lot of really interesting work with like seals. You combine astrological work with magic in very active, creative, and interesting ways. So maybe you know, I could ask you, once you've kind of determined career or you've gotten some prescription, so to speak, what do you do with it? How do you put it together into something coherent, something magical to help a client out?
Well, before I go into clients, I wanted to say that when I started doing root work, I had no much information about astrology. And I never really thought that I'm going to be getting seriously into astrology. But as time progressed, I started seeing how big astrology is. Really, if you understand that, you can understand so many other dynamics in addition to what you can see in the cards. So I think as a career, as a root worker, I really recommend to know some astrology. If you don't want to go into, like, the depths of it, but understanding astrology is an important it can really, really help. It can really help. It's also helpful to when your clients are like, oh, my God, my life is falling apart. Me and my boyfriend are fighting. And you go, well, it's Mercury retrograde, Mars retrograde, you know, Jupiter retrograde. Besides, things are going to get better. We just had this crazy period. Of time, but I now am also trying to get a natal chart and looking into the natal chart in addition to my cards. Now, there are some astrological spreads. It's very, very, very simplified, but astrological spreads can be if just in case I don't have information, I don't know the time of birth, I don't know the date of birth, I can lay down an astrological spread or zodiac spread, which is basically the 12 houses and some additional cards. And I can look at exactly the same houses as Ames mentioned, to look for information uh-huh. there, or to look how they're fighting with each other or how they're communicating with each other. And I look also into the fifth a lot for creative people mm-hmm. because I think that there are some gems that can be found there. But this is very, very simplified way of looking at the things, but it's quite interesting. And also there are a lot of decks today that include astrological information. So you kind of start comparing, what do I have on the card as opposed to which house, you know, where it fell? How is this communicating with the spread? And that's been pretty on point. It's been quite mm-hmm. Good to do it that way, especially if I do not have information about the client. If I do have information and I want to do both of this, very interesting to do like superimposition of their natal chart as what I see mm-hmm. At my spread, and you can say maybe this is like the transition, you know, this is something of that nature. Mm-hmm. But I feel like the cards really pick up that vibe very, very easily. But to understand what's going on now and how it influences me, how it influences other people, is very important. Basic things: Mercury retrograde. Do not go apply for that job now. They're probably going to lose your resume. It's pointless. You know, you don't have to do it. Just wait 2 more weeks. And I actually had a client who was about to fly to, in Latin America, I don't remember where, because she was about to go and get plastic surgery. Quite a few of them. And I just begged her, please do not do it, because she was about to go to during Mercury retrograde. Please don't do it. And she finally agreed, and she postponed her flight. So I was very proud of myself.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the elements is another way to kind of look at it. That's fantastic. For me, you know, the elemental compositions are really important.
Mm-hmm.
So, right, you know, if a Capricorn comes up, I know that I'll be working with powders, right? Or talismans, or mojo bags. If I'm working with an Aries, it's ruled by fire. I'll be working with candles. How about you, Professor Ames? What are some ways that you actively start incorporating what you see in the chart in the work that you do?
I think the elemental approach is really one of the easiest ways to do that. Certainly, you know, if I've got a Cancer or a Scorpio, I'm going to subscribe baths, right? It's natural for them. It's just a building thing for them. I don't use a lot with the elemental pieces of different herbs, but there are certain herbs that tend to have that feeling to them, right? So, your hot, spicy things, ginger and all that would warm things up, or cinnamon, I might be using I really need to fire them up, you know? Because if I look at the profile and say, yeah, they're probably a little too easygoing. You know, they've got some very soft, watery signs. They may not be aggressive at work. Let's give them a mojo bag so they can get empowered to feel like they're going to ask for that job, right? And so in addition to things like road opener and those things we kind of use, I can start to use the astrology to customize it to them, their personality, and what they might be missing, or sometimes what they need to tone down, right?
Right.
So if they're coming in too hot, if they're too pushy, you know, maybe it's, you know, things that are calming like lavender that would kind of bring down the tone when they come to a meeting or an interview or something of that sort.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fantastic. I love that because you're going beyond the kind of simple correspondence that you're thinking, and you're really diagnosing what the issue is. I think that's fantastic. Also, most of the planets, all the planets and the signs have herbs associated with them. So incorporating
Absolutely.
A little bit of those herbs into the work that you do, for example, a five-finger grass is very common amongst for Mercury, right? So if you were to use that and some of the work, if you see Mercury particularly prominently, or if a sign is being ruled by Mercury. So there's all sorts of ways that you can kind of incorporate herbs and roots and whatnot. I want to talk a little bit about what, Madam Nadia, I want to ask you, what has worked best when it comes to career? So combining astrology, is there a particular go-to for you that works? Like, for example, for me, I find mojo bags. It's kind of, mojo bags tend to be the work of that, you know, really easily is my go-to when I'm doing astrology and root work together, right? I'm able to incorporate it. I'm able to build a mojo bag up with the right herbs, whether it's a planetary correspondence or including a planetary seal of some sort into the mojo bag. It's kind of my go-to when I'm doing career astrological work. What about you? Do you have a go-to that you employ or use when you do this type of work, something that has been a staple in your practice?
It hasn't been a staple. It's been something that I started doing maybe half a year ago, a little bit over that. But I started making talismans out of people's natal charts. Mm. So I would take the natal chart and I would do things on it. Let's say we're talking about career, we're talking about Mercury and five-finger grass. So maybe in my divination show that the person needs some air, so I would smoke it in that. I can do different things. I can even burn that that chart if needed and make it a powder. But making a miniature version of them and then using it in ritualistic manner, doing whatever ritual that I want to do with it, and then putting it in a mojo bag or then putting it in a little, not trinket, I don't know how to call it, like something to put on their neck or whatever. You can buy the things in craft stores. But working with that, and also I wanted to add, when looking at career and other aspects, to look at the where is each planet? It's a little bit more complex, happy or unhappy, right, in the chart. So, for instance, if the 10th house has Scorpio and I have Venus in there, so Venus is not very happy. So I'm thinking, what do I need to add? Instead of adding maybe water there, I would actually add a little bit of fire, which is Mars. Mars rules Scorpio. So thinking about stuff like that while working with a chart. And it's easier, I think, because visually you look into that, you tune into that, so you start getting information beyond what you thought initially. You start learning about the person and adding different things that you think will improve their chances to be successful, charismatic, attractive, and magnetic, all the things that Madam Nani likes a lot. So that is kind of has been my approach, instead of, you know, maybe using just a coin or Mercury dime or magnet or something like that. In addition to that, using their chart and working with their chart directly.
Professor Ames, I want to ask you, I don't want to preempt our kind of free spell if we're working at the end in any way, shape, or form, but can you talk about, you know, a little bit, what if a person doesn't know astrology, right? Because astrology is very different from other forms of divination. It is a little, it's much more of a system. It requires a bit of really memorizing, learning, and then really practicing. And for a lot of people, that's daunting, right? Especially the mathematics of it, even though we have, programs and whatnot, there's still kind of this like, how do I, it all looks too geometric, too arithmetic, right? And whatnot. So how can a person get involved in astrology if they wanted to kind of improve their career in some small ways, even if they're not astrologers themselves? Like, for example, knowing their sun sign, or how can they figure out other things? And you could perhaps speak to that a little bit.
Yeah, I love the old books. They're sometimes it can be a little harsh, but they're also very straightforward. You know, you have to take them a little bit as a bit more of a caricature. I think our modern fortune telling, our modern divination has tended to, probably since the 60s, 70s, to be more psychological, right? So tarot became less fortune telling, more about therapeutic counseling kind of thing, right? The same thing happened a lot with astrology, right? So it became a little more open. If you look at some of the older books, they very clearly define, even down to, you know, how does a Gemini look? You know, how does someone with Capricorn look? What's their mood and disposition? I think getting your hands on something very simple like that, and just start testing it out. You know, look up people's birthdays. The great thing about astrology, it is so incredibly popular. You can find all kinds of books that will, you know, match up love signs and moon signs and basic things like that. And they're as easy as just looking up somebody's birthday and matching it to, you know, the text in the book. That's a lot of the way I started when I was very, very young. You know, Linda Goodman's Sun Signs was very popular when I was young. We know that one.
Bringing back a classic there.
Oh, it's a classic, yeah. And I think then you just over time, you go, okay, well, I know somebody who is a Taurus. Does this fit their personality? And then you start seeing the connections, right? I'm blessed with lots of Tauruses in my life, so I I know the profile well. So I think that's a really good way to start. And, of course, online resources are abundant. I think for most people, getting their chart, their natal chart, is what you would ask for, which a lot you can get for free online. And then just reading the descriptions of those things really helps you to understand, because you can relate to yourself and then maybe people who share your same sign. How are you like? How are you different?
Right. Absolutely. I think that's a really great way to start. And you don't also have to read the entire chart, right? You don't have to be an expert on it. Because the thing with astrology is, right, that it is a vast, vast field. In fact, in kind of the pre-modern world, people often specialize in a type of astrology, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's several traditional types of astrology. We find it in the Renaissance era, medieval, and so far. And most of them have kind of fallen out of favor. There's elective, elective astrology, where you can pick specific auspicious days. This was popular when it came to religious rituals, magical rituals, and whatnot. There was judicial astrology, which is specifically about cases. Electoral astrology also dealt quite a bit with sorcerers, so called it. There was predictive astrology. Predictive astrology was about, you know, what's going to happen next month, and so on and so forth. And there's even medical astrology, and then horary astrology, which is about asking questions in the same way that you ask the tarot or whatnot. So there's so many different branches that you can kind of get bogged down. And even today, most astrologers specialize in kind of one or two different kind of fields of astrology. The old kind of fields may not be as popular, but most astrologers can do natal astrology, and then they have something. They specialize in love. They specialize in career. For example, you have Deacon Millett, who specializes in love and couple astrology, right? So he can do your natal chart, but he can also tell you about your love life, and he can tell you about your partnership. So you don't need to master it all. You just need to know the details that are relevant to you. So in this case, if you're looking for career, look at those parts of the chart that matter to you. So Professor Ames mentioned, for example, the first house. He mentioned the sixth house, the tenth house, the midheaven. These are all very important things that you can look at, right? If you're looking at just trying to understand people, right, or you're trying to understand one another, you look at, for example, the sun and the moon, right, or the ascendant, right? This is kind of where the personality comes in. You go, okay, I can understand that. Don't forget, you know, if you're really interested in kind of delving into those older models, the part of fortune, for finding out where your money is coming from. So you can pick certain parts about astrology and really focus on that. What does it mean when you have Taurus in the 10th house, Gemini in the 10th house, and so on and so forth, right? So you can start kind of small or focused in on what interests you and build from there or just stay there, right? If you're interested in helping out with career and money and success, then look at those aspects of the chart and you'll find that it can be useful to you. adding a little bit of astrological knowledge to the work that you're doing does take it to the next level. It really does. And you'll find that even non-astrologers who are root workers still recognize the power of cosmic timing. There's a reason they did drawing works when the sun was rising. There's a reason why they did works to send away when the sun was setting, right? There's a reason why they paid attention to when the moon was waxing and when the moon was waning, right? There's a spiritual purpose there. There's a reason for it there. So I definitely recommend starting off kind of small, looking at things that interest you, looking at where it takes you, and then kind of, if you really like astrology, build out forward from there. As Professor Ames, you can attest, and actually, Kat and I said this before, you never stop learning when it comes to astrology. You really don't.
No.
It's just such a vast system that you're always adding a little bit. And one of the interesting things with astrology is it kind of almost acts like a filing cabinet too, right? You go, oh, interesting. I hadn't considered that. So now I know that this sign here may also mean this, right? And
I
think you mentioned this when you said figure out what people are, right? And then see what career they're on, whatnot. You'll do that. You'll figure it out. Like, I, for the longest time, I started realizing that Tauruses, for example, actually make decent detectives, right? And it's kind of this weird, like, I hadn't fully considered it because it's not really that traditional. It's this kind of weird. Uh-huh. And like, I always thought of detectives as really kind of analytic. There's something about the kind of stubbornness of Tauruses and just kind of keep at it and working little by little. A perfect example of this would be our own wonderful Miss Cat.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, I was
indeed.
She taught us all about how to keep a database on the system. She's amazing like that. I wanted to add something to that. In addition to figuring out what is your sign, how people, other like Geminis, relate to me, or how Tauruses are, when you get that, and let's say you're going to a job interview, see if you can find if the boss, what sign is the boss. You can find it maybe because you know people, or if you really talking about being a detective, it's quite easy today to find dates of birth of people online. So figure out and say, well, let's say they're Taurus. Think about what you can suggest to a client to wear, right? Earthy or maybe greens, something soft. You would not send them with like sharp lines and things like that. Maybe scent would be important. Tell them how to talk. This is a whole other way of thinking about it, because now we're coming in contact with those people. We have the ability to fascinate them a little bit, or at least make open that door just a little bit more, because when they're going to be thinking about you, there's going to be a positive residue in their mind because you appeal to their natal sort of likes. And I think that it's an interesting concept to think about.
And even for even if you're not interviewing your current boss, you know, inevitably over the course of a year, you're going to have some birthday celebration, right? There's often a listing in your office of whose birthday is when, and I make note of that. I've also noticed that some groups tend heavily toward one sign versus others. I work with a whole bunch of Geminis right now, right? So that kind of tells me how to be in that group.
I apologize for all of them.
This has been a really fantastic discussion. Thank you both for really bringing in some interesting insight. And thank you, Professor Ames, for suggesting. I hope you come on and we do some more of these kind of astrological talks, because they are fascinating and there's a lot of interest in it. But it is time to go on to our reading. Let's have Papa Newt come in and steer us fearlessly forward.
The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with your hosts, Conjurman Ali and special co-host Madam Nadia, and this week's special guest, Professor Ames. We'll be right back. We'll be taking calls from our listeners, answering their questions through spiritual divination and prescribing down-home conjurer remedies and remediation. Our call-in clients are selected from among those who have filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. You can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or via telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. If you filled out a client questionnaire at the forum, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know that you are available to be on the air. We will be selecting callers by their area code, and if your area code is announced, we'd like you to say hello and let me, your announcer, Papa Newt, read a brief description of your situation before turning it over to our host. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our first caller. Our first caller is a first-time caller calling in from area code 732 in the state of New Jersey. This is Asia. Asia, are you there? Welcome to the show. And I see you have not gone to Ms. Kat Contramentally or any other readers on this situation. Is that correct?
That's correct.
All right. And she writes, I've been having money issues, mainly problems with student loans that I cannot afford, and I'm a small business owner, but my business hasn't been making the profits I'd like. I'd like to know if things will change with my money worries. Turn it back to you, Councilman Ali.
Thank you, Papa New. Let's have Madam Nadia do our first reading, and then we'll go from there.
Okay. My dear, what is your zodiac sign?
Capricorn. I'm on a cusp, but I consider myself a Capricorn.
Capricorn. That's only business. We have a Capricorn on the show as well right now, so that's a good sign.
Oh, sure.
And what we're trying to see is that whether your money is improving. Is that what we're looking at?
Yes.
Okay. Let's give it a little of a time frame, because you know, if your money is going to improve in 20 years, this is not really helping you right now. So would you be able to give me a time frame that
within the next year, if possible?
Within the next 2 years. Okay. Let's see. And to them, I'm reading with the Italian Sibylla Oracle. And the cards that I got are pretty heavy duty. Just looking by them, looking by what I got, I would say that I suggest a really, really serious uncrossing for you. I know that you didn't ask me for that, but the cards that show up here, cards that often show up for when people are being crossed and hacked. Moreover, it seems like there is a person who is quite close to you, who is jealous of what you're doing. So if you've been going up and doing better and getting a lot of overly too many compliments from somebody, and then the situation sort of goes down, this is the person that I would try to maybe reverse the work for. I have some heavy cards here, my dear. And that makes me concerned. There is the card that I have, just in case people are interested, is the soldier reverse, happiness reverse, and jealousy reverse. So with jealousy reverse and the soldier reverse, it's quite indicating very, very often that there is somebody who's working against you, and this is an active thing. Have you been even thinking about that, or that something like that, of that nature might be going on?
It's funny you just say that, because I always say to my husband, I feel like someone's punching me. I feel like there's something working against me, because I've just, for the last, I say, about 3 or 4 years, it's just been really, really difficult for me, and things normally aren't this hard, so it makes sense.
Well, I hope that my colleagues can shed more light onto the situation. So good luck with everything.
Thank you for that, Madam Nadia. Can we have Professor Ames give our second reading, and then I will give some recommendations.
So I'm looking at, I'm reading the Lenormand cards here, and I have you here. It's interesting that Nadia brought up that there's someone who's working against you. What I have, just slightly to your past, I have the diary, which is about secrets. I have a man here who posed as a friend, but there's some argument. I have the whips here, so there's some secret animosity going on here. I don't know if it's jealousy or he felt slighted, but he certainly posed originally as a friend. It might be working against you. I think that work is in terms of something verbal, because I have the birds beside him, maybe written as well. In your bigger question, I do think that your key to turning around your financial stuff still lies within your business. I have the key here. It's followed by the bear. There's your big picture financial. There's some news about it. I assume it's a small business, but you might be having to look at, I feel like there might be something with refinancing, if you have any loans out, and really refocusing on the core work that you do. I feel a little bit like you've strayed off into some other ventures that aren't core to what you do or what your original passion was. And if you return back to that and you kind of narrow down and focus your business, you would gain a little bit more value out of your time. Does that make sense?
I think if I had to think about it a little bit more, but I mean,
Yeah. Well, you're a Capricorn. I'm a fellow Capricorn. We are good business thinkers. So look at the structure of your business and the focus of your business and see what things are, where you gain the most value from it and what things you may like to do, but they're not giving you the money that you need. You're spending too much time doing certain things. Does that make sense? That's kind of my feel for that.
It does. Thank you.
And I think definitely addressing this issue with this this friend who has this animosity towards you. I think, Kanjamali, do you have some suggestions for that?
Yes, thank you both for the fantastic reading. Because this is really an astrology topic, interestingly enough, and it works out with career, and so does our next one, fingers crossed. One of the things to also bear in mind is that Capricorns are ruled by a planet that deals with restrictions, right? So it's one of those signs that things happen later in life, right? Or debt is something that they often have to deal with. So I've always found that, for example, my Capricorn friends tend to marry a little bit later in life where there's some type of age difference in the partnerships. My Aquarius friends tend to find their careers later in life. So there's always this kind of delay when you're dealing with a sign that is ruled by a planet like Saturn. So bear that in mind, right, that you may have to get some type of astrological reading to double-check and see if you're in a particular time period in your life where there is some type of financial obstruction. So take a look, a deeper look at that, and Professor Ames is a fantastic astrologer. You can set up an appointment with him to talk a little bit more in-depth about that. But there are those workings you can do that can help to move things along and deal with financial woes as you seem to be dealing with. First and foremost, you've got to get rid of any type of envy, evil eye, or directed malice, if you will. And the great way to do that is an cleansing, right? We often prescribe bats and whatnot, but personally I find for some type of evil eye or envy, eggs are fantastic. You just take an egg, I usually give it a quick rinse off, and then you rub this egg on your body from head to toe, so you're moving downwards, and you pray that it draws out all the negativity, all the evil eye, all the things that may be holding it back into the egg. Some people don't like to touch the egg to their body, so they move it in circles around the body, use the egg. You'll feel it. You'll feel the egg get a little bit heavier. You'll feel something kind of shift, and when you feel that shift, you're good to go. Take that egg and take it to a running water or take it to a tree, break it at the base of the tree, walk away, and don't look back. Next, what I want you to do is go to a crossroads. You're going to go to a crossroads. You're going to light a white candle. You're going to place out 3 coins, and you're going to sprinkle some whiskey over those coins. And you're going to ask that your roads be open, that money come from all directions. And you're going to build a mojo bag at that crossroads. And what I want you to do is I want you to get an alfalfa and alfinet. I always use this two combination to deal with loans, debt, to help with money jinxes, and also to protect from any type of poverty. So you want to use alfalfa and alfinet, cinnamon to draw in money, five-finger grass so that you're successful at bringing money in with all five of your fingers, and bay leaf so that you are victorious and successful, and a pinch of the dirt from the crossroads. You're going to place this into the mojo bag, pray your prayer into the mojo bag, asking that money be drawn to you, that wealth be drawn to you, that any type of debt that you have, you're able to overcome, that you have the money that you need to pay off debt, to pay off loans, but also enough for living and a little left over for something on the side. You always want to ask for a little bit more extra so that you're not just living paycheck to paycheck, but you have something that you can put into a savings or for luxury or whatnot. You're going to tie off the mojo bag with three knots, feed it a little bit of whiskey, walk away from the candle, let the candle go down. Make sure that you place this somewhere safe in the crossroads, so use pavement and whatnot. You don't want to start a fire in your hometown. Carry that mojo bag with you wherever you go. Once a week, feed it. And when you feed it, you have to actually hold it and talk to it and squeeze it a little bit. And I've talked about this on the radio show before. Mojo bags are not just talismans, right? They are talismans, but they're a little bit more. They're a descendant of a very African way of working and creating nkisis, right? Creating these kind of medicine bags, creating these little gods, as anthropologists call them. This is a spirit helper that is your ally. So you want to be actively working with it. Speak to it, pray over it, feed it a little bit of whiskey, and build a relationship with it. And this spirit of the mojo bag will go out and draw money into you and help you. It will be your ally during this situation. I think a mojo bag is particularly important because you can carry it with you, right? So it's not just about lighting a candle or lighting a few candles. It's about something that you can actively with you on your persons as you go about. And perhaps you can also do some working for your business. If you have, for example, a physical site where your business is at, you can do some washes there. Sugar and cinnamon and hot water is a really good flooring floor wash that you can use. I would use that after you've done a thorough cleansing of any type of property that you own. You can use Chinese floor wash for that. That would be my recommendation. I want to get Professor Ames and Madam Nadi in to throw in their suggestions as well, since they gave you a reading. So, Professor Ames, let's go to you first, and then we'll go to Madam Nadi. Do you have anything to add to this or anything you would suggest? Professor Ames? Oh, no, maybe we lost.
Sorry.
I hope we didn't miss.
Oh, there we go.
I'm here.
Oh, here we go. Okay, perfect.
Sorry. So two little things that I would add with this mojo bag. I love the idea of a mojo bag. You might want to get the dirt of the crossroads at the crossroads by your bank. A lot of banks are right on the corner of an intersection, right? So they can drive through and everything. So the dirt from that, or I've even surreptitiously scooped a little dirt from the planter that sits in front of the bank itself. And when you're writing your petition, consider using not a check but a deposit slip for your bank, right? So write it on the back of your deposit slip. Use that as the paper to write your petition on so that you've got that money being deposited in, right? Coming in. So two little tweaks there that I think are really interesting. Using a physical location of a bank and then something related to money and banking, like your deposit slip for your business.
I love that.
That's fantastic. Thank you, Professor Ames. I love that the idea of working with a bank slip and also crossroads at the bank. Great, great additions. Madam Nadia, what would you suggest, something that you can add onto this working based off of the reading you gave?
Well, we are, since it's Memorial Day, we're talking about different dirts that we can add, and because I got the soldier in my reading, what I would suggest is, first of all, if you, my dear, have an ancestor who has been a soldier, was in the military, or something that relates to that, maybe a policeman, you can use the dirt from their grave, if possible, to add to the mojo bag. And that is going to be specifically for protection, to keep you protected from those people with the envy eyes. In case you do not have an ancestor like that, you can always go to a cemetery where a lot of soldiers are buried, and you can walk around and see if you connect to a specific spirit and buy graveyard dirt there and add that to your bag. And if even that is impossible, go to the police station, get some dirt from there, add it to your mojo bag. And specifically invoking the spirit of that earth, wherever it came from, or the person to help you and protect you. And that way you will not have to deal with these issues anymore. That's it. That's what I suggest.
Thank you so much.
I really appreciate it.
The workings that you've been given are very spirit oriented, and it's fantastic. You're going to do fine with these readings. I think they're really great. I do, however, really suggest that you do get an astrological reading at some point, just to check in, take a look at where things are going, and again, Professor Ames can help you with that. And again, start off with the cleansing, right? So before you do any of these works, before you make the mojo bag or add the dirt, start off with cleansing yourself. Right? Get an egg cleansing going for yourself. Go out and do a cleansing for your home or any other property you have. If your business is at a physical location, cleanse that as well. I highly, highly recommend that you do some Chinese floor wash. You can take the Chinese floor wash, dilute it in a little bit of warm water, and use that to wash. And you wash from back to front, top to bottom, so that you are pushing out any type of negativity, envy, or obstruction that are in your way. Once you do the cleansing, then you're going to make sure that you put something back. So that's when you would want to do some type of like a floor wash, like the cinnamon and sugar for drawing in money. Anoint yourself, your body with Van oil before you go out and make your mojo bag. But make sure you start with the cleansing. Steal yourself, steal your home, do the floor wash, put a little bit of Van on yourself, go out and make some mojo bag. Does that make sense for you?
It does.
Okay, good. Thank you for calling and trusting us with your situation. I do wish you all the best, and I have no doubt that you will be successful. Check back in with us. Let us know in a little while how things turned out. Call back, and we can do a kind of follow-up with you, all right? All the best now.
Certainly. Certainly. Thank you so much, you all. Thank you.
All right. For whatever reason, Block Talk Radio has decided that it is not going to put on our bumper music at the moment. So why don't we have Papa Newt take us into the next caller?
Certainly. Support for this programming is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Reworkers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic Tantra practitioners located online at readersandreworkers.org, and by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionary independent spiritual churches located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our next client. We have one calling in from Pennsylvania area code of 717. This is Sarah. Sarah, are you there?
Hello, yes.
Hello, welcome to the show.
Hi.
And I see
you're
calling back, but on a completely different situation. Is that correct?
That's right.
All right, welcome back, Sarah. And
you
have not gone to Miss Kat or Contra Lee or any other readers on the situation, correct?
That's right.
All right, Sarah. And she writes, I recently reached out to a mentor to help me take my career in a new direction. It's been several months. I feel she's getting far more out of this partnership than I am, and most of the advice she's given has been about my current career path rather than the one I aspire to. Is she just not listening, or is there something more insidious going on here? I'm turning back to you, Councilman Ali.
Thank you, Papa New. You mentioned astrology, so that's fantastic. I'll be doing your first reading, followed up by Professor Ames, and then we will have Madam Nadia do the final reading for you. It's great that you mentioned astrology, because I want to point out, first, how interesting that it kind of fits in with the topic, right, that Professor Ames suggested. And both of these questions are kind of career-oriented. So it's always interesting how that works out. You said you're a Cancer in your late 30s and she is a 60-year-old Aries. Well, the first thing is that that's an interesting partnership and mentorship, and one that can be sometimes fraught with some tension. Communication between those two signs are not always easy. They are very different in many different ways. First, you know, Cancers are a water sign, right? And you have Aries is a fire sign. Aries tends to do what they want, the way they want it, at the timing that they want. And that may not always mm-hmm. work for a Cancer, right? Yeah. And so the relationship can be fraught between these two, so just bear that in mind as we do the reading, and we'll see what it says. The very first card that I have here is the Four of Pentacles. The Four of Pentacles shows us a little king, often known as the Miser King. This is an individual sitting outside of a city on a bench, clutching a coin to his chest, another is on his crown, and two more are under his feet. There are two things that this is talking about. One, on one level, your mentor just isn't hearing you, right? She's very set in, or your mentor is very set in what her expectations are, what she wants, and what she's willing to give out in regards to advice. So she's very set in her ways. She's very on this kind of narrow path. She doesn't see anything else, and the career advice that she gives you is kind of, at this point, unfortunately, all she's willing to give, right? So that's a problem. That means that if you're looking for her for something else, if you're looking for some other form of advice, that she's not the person to be asking, right? She's not the person that will be able to give it to you. She's just not, for whatever reason, mentally, emotionally, that person. Secondly, it also speaks a little bit to you. One of the things about Cancers is that you have to be able to assert what you need and what you want, right? If she's yeah. not giving you the advice that you want, you need to be able to speak up and say, this is not what I'm looking for. This is what I'm looking for. So the Four of Pentacles speaks to both of those, right? There's an impasse here between what you want and what she can give, and also what you can ask for. So this is something to bear in mind first and foremost. The next card that I have here tells us about intent, and that is the Ace of Pentacles. The Ace of Pentacles tells us, the Ace of Pentacles tells us that you will find success, that you will find the advice that you need. We have the divine hand of God reaching out of a cloud to offer you up a coin, and there's a beautiful hedge below. So you are going to get an offer, and you're going to get an offer from an unexpected source, from someone outside your mentorship relationship. This may be another ally, this may be another mentor, it may be a friend, but that's where you're going to get your advice from. That's where you're going to get your help from. It's actually not going to come from your mentor, who is very set in their way. Instead, it's going to come from someone else, and I see that in the Knight of Wands. The Knight of Wands is a younger individual, a person who likely may either be in the career that you're interested in or have some experience in the type of advice you're looking for or has some type of connection to what you are looking for. And they're going to come into your life. They themselves may have just been returning from some type of travel or some type of journey, and they can give you advice. This is an energetic person. Look for someone who is a fire sign, perhaps, someone who is a fire sign who is either in the field or has some experience in the field, and they're going to kind of appear on the scene, and they're going to appear on the horizon, and maybe a somewhat unexpected source, but they're the person that are going to give you the advice that you really need, and it's going to help you move forward. And finally, I have here the Three of Cups, and that tells me that don't worry. The relationship may be fraught, there may be some tensions there, but in the end, it will all work out. Here are three people celebrating a harvest after hard work. You will be successful. You will get the advice that you need. You will be able to make the changes that you need. Look for a person who is a fire sign. Look for a younger individual. Look for a person who is already in that kind of career or field. And this person is more than likely going to be another female. But, you know, maybe not, but I sense that they likely will be a female and that they will give you the advice that you need. That's the reading that I have. Let's have Professor Ng do your next reading, and then Madam Nadia can give you some root work advice on what you can do on the situation.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. So I'm looking at the Lenormand cards, and I'm seeing the same story here, just told through different ways. I have here, she's very set in her ways. She does approach you as a friend. I don't think that she's trying to disrupt you, but she is definitely set in her ways. I think at this point you need to just accept that what you can get out of that relationship, which I think might be some recommendations, because then what I'm seeing down here, and I will confirm what Ali was saying, that there is going to be another woman. I think she's more of a peer, probably a fire sign, someone who comes across as a fairly assertive personality. I don't know that she's going to become so much a friend or a confidant, but that she is going to help push you to this decision. I think the decision is going to be very critical. It definitely will involve some financial decisions for that. But I also feel like there's going to be a lot of confusion. There might be a period here where you're trying to find your way and decide, do I follow my head or my heart? You know, how am I going to base this decision on? But the outcome is I think you will have actually a new direction, I'm going to say, within the next 6 months. So, again, I think your relationship with your mentor has probably gone about as far as it's going to go. You may still be able to get other information out of her, recommendations, some things that are less personal, but do look for this other woman who will kind of feel like she's not aggressively difficult, but she's going to push you, right? She's going to challenge your thinking and ask you difficult questions. And that will push you toward making some sort of a decision, and maybe to go into another field or different type of work, or maybe in just a different company. And I think that's going to be a great start for you, even if there's going to be a period that's a little nebulous and hazy, let's say.
Okay.
Thank you for that, Professor Ames. I think both of us are seeing something very similar there. We're seeing kind of transition in mentors and that leading to transition in your life and kind of where you want to go as well. So there's an interpersonal change that's going to happen that's also going to influence the kind of the direction of your life. So I think, thank you for, the insights that you brought there, Professor Ames. I think you brought a very important angle. Let's have Madam Nadia give you some good work advice. This is one of those cases where we're looking really, I think, fundamentally to smooth things out, to make sure that the changes that are coming go in the direction that you want them to do. So, Madam Nadia, maybe we can do some road opening work to draw in the right advisor or mentor or ally.
Absolutely.
But root work of that nature, if you can take over from here.
Absolutely. Well, since our caller is Cancer, and we're talking about astrology in the show, I think that I would suggest doing the spell that I'm going to recommend when the moon is in Cancer. and it's waxing moon. What I would like you to do is to take a dark bowl, preferably black bowl, and fill it up with water. You can pray over this water. And what I want you to do also is to get four candles. If you can get glass candles, 7-day candles, those are preferable, but you can use regular tapers as well. What I want you to do is to get two red ones, one orange, and one white. And I'll tell you why. The white is to pacify and smooth your relationship with your current mentor. The orange is to open the roads to get to where you need. Now we're moving on. We're going to a different state. This is what we need. We need to open the roads. And since we know that the person, the new person that we're looking for to be a mentor or somebody who's going to let you in, open the door for your career, is a fire sign, then we're going to put two red candles for that. I want you to do, after you set up your altar, is I want you to pray and I want you to talk into the water and say everything that you want to happen. If, first of all, you want to release the bond with your current mentor, or you want to lighten it up, you want to pacify the situation, talk about that. Talk to the water. You're a water sign. Water can do very, very powerful things. And then after that, talk about how you want your road to look. Where do you want to get your career, your mentor, how they're going to arrive to you. You can be as specific as you want. I find that the universe likes when people are being specific, that answers within specific and concrete ways. So do a little bit of a ritual. Let the water sit there until the candle's done burning. I would suggest just covering that water with some maybe silvery scarf or a scarf. And when the candles are done burning, I would like you to take this water and I would like you to spill it into running water. So a river, ocean, I'm sorry, I forget where you are from. But as you are going to be spilling that water, you're going to say that you're connecting that little bit to the big river, to the big flow. And that will go out into the world and bring you, in return, what you need. Your mentor, your teacher, your opportunities, and all of the things that you desire and you want. And then turn around, don't look back, go home, and I promise you that things are going to start shifting very quickly for you. But it's going to be aligned to your vibration. Is going to be comfortable for you. You're not going to feel like you're fighting your mentor or there is animosity or it's just hard to communicate, because that's not fun. That's not helping anyone. So yeah, that's I think that this is going to work really well for you. That's what I have to say.
Thank you.
Well,
that's beautiful.
Nadia. That is very beautiful work. And I think working with the water, just brilliant work. Beautiful, very typical Madame Nadia work, I would say. In that regard, so that's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for that. Let's see if Professor Ames has anything else to add. As Madame Nadia mentioned, that the change is likely going to happen pretty soon. And I think that Professor Ames also predicted that as well. I think he said the 6 months, if I'm not mistaken, Professor Ames. So that's good. Let's see if Professor Ames can add further suggestions on there, or what he would add based off of the reading he gave.
Yeah, I did see in my reading a little period kind of with this decision to make a change or whatever's coming up for you in the next 6 months that it's going to be a little hazy. I would definitely recommend some clarity work, right? So the a bit of clarity oil, I think as you're going through and trying to make these decisions, having that burning, wearing a little of it, I like to place it kind of on my third eye or the top of my head. With me, it's easy because there's no hair up there. I think there's going to be a need for you to have not only this sort of road opening and stuff, but some clarity of thought about what you really want in terms of what's the best decision for you, right? Are you leading with your head? This is a smart move. Or are you leading with your heart? This is my passion. This is what I want to do. Hopefully you can find that combination of the two. But I do recommend just some meditation. I like to anoint just a plain white candle with some clarity oil. Dress yourself with it. And just make a nice list, right? Pros, cons of things, and work from there.
Thank you, Professor Ames. That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Absolutely great, great work. I want to ask you a question. Do you want to have this mentor still in your life?
Well, I'm not sure of that right now, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, and all of you hit it right on the head. She's perfectly friendly, but she's also incredibly frustrating to work with.
Mm-hmm.
And and so, like, I wouldn't mind staying in her life, but not in the capacity that I have been, because,
right.
Like I said, she's benefiting from this way more than I am.
Yeah, we all picked up on it too. I think her intentions aren't evil, right? This isn't the she's not there to ruin you. She's just very set in a particular mindset and what she wants and what she's getting in particular, right? So one of the first things that are, in addition to the root work on the emotional, mental side, is really to decide what you want out of your relationship, because this new individual that's coming into life, the kind of shifts in your interpersonal that we all see, are going to bring some serious changes, and they're going to be fast changes. And so you want to ask yourself and really determine in advance what role you see your mentor taking on after these changes or during these changes. Do you still want to be friends and allies with her, have her as an ally, or do you want to kind of move on completely? The reason I say this is because the card that I got, the final card, is the kind of Three of Cups, which is three individuals celebrating on equal terms, right? So you might consider not cutting this person out of your life or removing this person out of your life, but maybe shifting her to a different position, that of ally rather than mentor.
Yeah.
Right? So just something to consider, or maybe it is best to walk away because she's a little bit difficult to deal with her personality or what she's expecting or whatnot. So it's something that you really need to think about, and it's something that you really need to consider and rather soon. So take a quick, I would say, the best way to make up this type of decision is to light a candle at night, say, by the time I wake up, I will have my answer, and then go to sleep on it. And then when you wake up, you'll know. You'll know what to do. But it is something that you need to consider before going forward with anything else. Okay?
Yeah. And should I anoint that candle with anything or just leave it?
No, you can just leave it as a white candle. I generally don't anoint those candles. Thank you for calling in and trusting us with your situation. All of us saw changes, but we also saw very positive things coming your way. So do check in with us and let us know how things turned out, and we wish you all the best, okay?
Yes, thank you so much.
Good luck.
All right, we are going to have a short announcement, and then Papa Newt is going to come back in and introduce our next segment.
The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, hosted by Catherine Ironwood and Kajumon Ali, Sundays 3 to 4:30. Candela's Corner, starring Candela Cambisa, Mondays 5 to 7. The Crystal Silence League Hour, hosted by John St. Germain, Tuesdays 5 to 6. In the Streets with Beverly Smith, Tuesdays 6 to 7. On Sacred Ground with Kaya Mon, Wednesdays 5 to 7. The Now You Know Show with Professor Charles Porterfield, Thursdays 6 to 7:30, and Liquid Libations with Andrea Weston, Saturdays 5 to 7. All time specific, at 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com.
And now it's time for our free spell segment with Professor Ames of SkullBoneEmporium.com in Fort Collins, Colorado. Take it away, Professor Ames.
Okay. Since we're talking about astrology and career, I thought I'd give a little career advice, both practical and root work related, having been in HR for a long time, I'll just say, things have changed. It used to be that we could do all these things that we've read about in the books and spell books, where you dress your letter with the setcha powders and you go and you hand it to them. It's very rare nowadays that you have the ability, in very few businesses, where you can meet face-to-face and put in your application or hand a resume in. So that sort of shut off one of our ways that we can work on a job search. My recommendation, since everything is now done online, we've had a really good discussion about this recently, of how do you use RootWork when you don't have a physical object. My recommendation is taking your writing your resume electronically. You probably are going to copy and paste this into your online application. I will say one of the ways to get past the robot is to keep customizing your resume. It's not a one resume fits all anymore. But really read what the individual job request is and reflect that back to, frankly, the robot that's reading it. They're going to look for certain words. So if it says customer service, you use customer service. If they say waiter, you say waiter, not server, right? So keep that in mind. That's the first way to get your foot through the door. Another way that you can work it from the other side of the electronic divide, print out that resume, dress it with your powders. Steady Work Powder is a great product to use. I like to use Gravel Root, and you can dust that. You can fold it up, put it in an envelope, and put it underneath your keyboard, right? So you've dressed that resume for what you're looking for. Another way that you can use the resume this way is put it in one of those translucent sleeves and use it instead of a mouse pad, right? And I would even go as far as taking your resume and writing your kind of petition on top of it. So highlight things on your resume, circle things, point arrows to it, write what your boss would want to say about that aspect of it. And so you've got there and you've got that sort of dressed, petitioned resume as a sort of master source for when you then copy it and you produce it electronically. Some other things that you can do. Crown of Success, that's great to have on when you are doing your computer applications. We might not want to put it on your fingertips, but you can certainly apply oils, Crown of Success, Road Opener oil to the back of your hands as you're typing in the information or using the mouse. So those are some ways you can use sort of traditional products in an electronic format and get some of the bang for that. Of course, we always want to be careful if we want to put oils onto a keyboard. Your IT people will freak out about that, of course, but Road Opener, Blockbuster, Crown of Success, all those would be great for you to use. You could even burn a little incense while you're working, burning some candles for the success. All that can go on ceremonially while you are doing applications. Does that help?
That is fantastic. I love that you have it going on while you're doing the applications themselves.
Mm-hmm.
That's really, really good. Something that I've used in the past is having kind of a master application, right? So like there's an application or a resume that exists that you can work on, because as you mentioned, a lot of times you don't physically turn in your resume anymore.
Right.
So the idea of kind of dusting it with powders may not be as effective as it was 20 years ago or so.
Right.
But you can print out your resume, put all sorts of wonderful seals on it, dust it with powders, light candles on it, making sure that it's in a safe way. You're not lighting candles directly on your resume. Lighting candles on, and use that as a sort of master key, right, for all your other resumes. So you can do work on that via sympathy if you can't do work on it via contact, by which I mean you can work with the kind of long-distance forms of magic if you can't work with the powders that are direct contact. And then once you get an interview or an opportunity to come and see somebody, you can lay out some powders, at that time. So work with you know, you can have, as Professor Ames mentioned, you can have, for example, your panel going on your resume, on that kind of master key resume, as you're signing, you're filling out applications and sending off a copy of that resume, right? So that it's always some
right.
form of connected. Now, some people actually do this quite cleverly, and that they'll put actually a symbolic link between the two, right? So there'll be some type
uh-huh.
of small digital symbol or seal or logo. Some people include a little, you know, personalized logo of some sort on their resume, and that can connect or link the kind of digital resumes with the physical copy of that. Madam Nadia, what about you? What are your thoughts on this?
I definitely am into hiding a little curious in our resume. So watermark works really well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Write little success, you know, the success digit or anything else, and you can use it, put it as a watermark. The fact that you're not going to see it with the naked eye does not mean that it's not there. And of course, while you're working on that resume, while you're putting it there, while you're putting the intention, have your candles going, you know, have your intention be supported by other spiritual things, incense, candles, and so forth. Professor Ames, I love the idea of putting it in sleeves. I think it's absolutely genius. Not only that you will continue working with your resume, you know, we could, if you want to be thinking about your job search in positive ways, you can write all kinds of things on that too. I'm a superstar. That
mm-hmm.
you're getting
yeah.
a job this way. Whatever it is, but keep it by your computer. And every time, you know, if you don't get back, nobody contacts you or something happens and it makes you sort of a little bit depressed, look at that. That is a focal
mm-hmm.
point to remind yourself that everything is going to be okay. That not only the fact that you are psychologically improving your chances, you also actually wrote a petition on your resume. And the
mm-hmm.
fact that you're rolling your mouth over it, you're just activating it over and
yeah.
over and over and over again. So I definitely would run with that, and I absolutely, I'm so happy you shared that because I think it's brilliant and it's so easy to do, absolutely easy to
mm-hmm.
do.
That is a fantastic suggestion. A couple of final ones before we kind of end or go towards our ending. One really practical one, and this is really non-magical, is that you want your resumes to stand out. And one of the ways you can do that is to remove that objective statement. I don't know why that became a really big thing, but all resumes have this, like, objective to obtain a career, which, you know, I could advance and use my skills or whatnot. It's this really bizarre, vague, useless statement. Instead, put a short summary of what your resume is and what your skills are, right? A summary right at the top is really, really useful. I learned this from a colleague of mine who works in hiring. And in regards to kind of magical work, definitely add, I would say, look me over an attraction. That combination is fantastic. It makes
yes,
people
look me over.
Double,
yes.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
look me over.
Take a second glance at your resume. Anyways, thank you all for your wonderful suggestions. Let's have Papa Newt come in and take us out.
Thank you, Congressman Ali, and thank you, Madam Nadia, and thank you, Professor Ames of Skullbone Emporium in Fort Collins, Colorado, for being our guest this week. We invite you to tune in next week when we will have another special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers. Once again, we've come to an end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Conjurman Ali at conjurmanali.com in Mission Viejo, California, and Madam Nadia at madamnadia.com in Chicago, Illinois. I'm your announcer, Papa Newt, joining you from papanewt.com in Columbus, Nebraska. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rework Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and the shows are available in archive via luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to say thank you for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at the same time when you'll hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Vault. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Thanks, Papa New. Always a stalwart help there. Thank you, Madam Nadia, for stepping in for Kat's shoes. As always, you are a wonderful co-host. Thank you, Professor Ames, for joining us as a guest. I hope you will return. You have such a fascinating topic, and I would love to have a part two and three of different aspects of kind of combining astrology with
I would
ruler.
Love that.
No,
I would love that.
No pressure, but I would love to have you. Really fantastic topic. Anyways, thank you all for tuning in. Have a great Memorial Day weekend, and we will see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, everybody.